Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today for another edition of Garden Talk. We have a great roster of gardening experts who spend time with us here on Garden Talk. And we know one of your favorites is Melinda Myers, and she is with us today by phone. Melinda's Milwaukee-based gardening expert, the author of more than 20 books. She also is the host of Melinda's Garden Moments, and we love it when she joins us. Melinda, always a pleasure.
It's always great to talk gardening with you and your listeners. And, boy, we've had a challenging growing season, but it's going to be a good fall to kind of get some good pizzazz to the end of the season and get ready for next year, right?
Absolutely. You know, have we been stocking up and purchasing? I mean, there have been so many deals on fall flowers.
Exactly. And supporting public radio is a great way to ensure you have a good garden next year, because there's so many wonderful guests that I like to listen to as well to help me as I move forward, not only my personal yard, but passing on information to others.
Absolutely. I want to give the number to let people join in. If you have a question for Melinda, give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or shoot a note on my or a photo on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to see those as well. And let's talk a little bit about some of those fall garden activities. Things that we could be doing. Planting trees, is that a possibility? Shrubs?
Oh, excellent time to plant trees, shrubs, and perennials. The soil's warm, the air's cool, so it's less stressful on the plants as they're getting established, and I always say less stressful on the gardener as
well. Yeah.
And so it's a great time to do that. And like you said, there's a lot of deals out there and some good quality plants that maybe people kind of quit gardening midsummer, so some of the garden centers and nurseries, some bring in fresh stock for the fall, some just take good care of their plants over the summer and give us the opportunity to add those. It's bulb planting season, especially for our friends up in the northern part of the state. And those of us in the south, boy, today it feels like we should get them in the ground immediately.
Yeah, yes.
But you've got until the ground freezes, and you want to make sure we have consistently cool temperature for a good week before we start planting. But, boy, buy early. You get a much better selection. And save a few for forcing inside, too.
Yeah.
Always fun. And then fall containers. I love to do Swiss chard as a vertical accent. It's edible and pretty. Pansies. And Cool Wave pansies are a new spreading pansy that's out on the market this year that's hardy in Zone 5. I haven't talked to anyone that's grown it in Zone 4. So if it makes it through, let me know. But I planted them last year. You can double the space between. I had to replant some. I was putting
them on 6-inch
centers, and I went, oh, that's right, I can put them on 12-inch centers.
Wow.
And they grow and fill in, made it through the winter, looked beautiful until July 1st in my garden.
And then what happened?
And then, you know, the heat got to them. I think they went, are you kidding? We're done.
Oh, well, I felt that way myself a few times this summer.
I know. I was ready to join them. Yep, I'm with you.
Oh, man. What about, thinking about garlic. Is it still time to plant garlic?
Yeah, you want to get it in there, get it started. Once the ground freezes, you know, do a little evergreen bough or marsh hay over top. You know, it's one of those plants we overlook. It can be, you know, it's a little bit trickier being in the north because of our, you know, we want to get it started. If we have a tough winter and no snow, it can be challenging. But, you know, I remember I said that on one show, and I had a woman call and say, it's easy to grow. So, you know, I always like to say, give it a try, you know, and if you don't make it the first time, all of us have failed at first attempts on different plants and different locations or new styles of gardening. But, you know, I think it's definitely worth a try because there's nothing better than when you harvest your own garlic and any of your vegetables. But, you know, that's that next step up in terms of challenge in my book. You know, if anything you plant in the fall in mind to harvest next summer and get it through the winter. But a lot of people growing it out there, so it's worth a shot, and definitely you can't beat the flavor.
Absolutely right. Peggy in Waukesha has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. Good Melinda morning. Myers, the hydrangea lady.
Hi, how are you, Peggy?
I have a conundrum. I have this most beautiful oak leaf hydrangea in my front, and by my front entrance, and it wants to just take over the porch, so I need to know how to prune an oak leaf hydrangea.
Yeah, good question.
And when?
Yeah, good question. If you can just wait. Here's the deal, and you bring up a good question. Oak leaf hydrangeas, I'm just going to tell others who may not know the beautiful plant, nice orange exfoliating bark, oak-shaped leaves that are beautiful in the summer and turn gorgeous fall colors, reds and purples and yellows. They bloom on old wood, even though they bloom later in the season. And so that's why you're having that conundrum of when do I prune. Now, what you can do is take a few of the older stems back to the base or back to a shorter adjoining stem. Now, from the plant health standpoint, you can do that in late winter. If you need to clip a few branches this fall, that's fine, but I would wait till late winter to do major pruning.
Mm-hmm.
You'll lose a few flowers on those stems, but you should still get plenty of bloom. So
older stems, trim it back to the base or where they join
a shorter outward facing stem. So depending on how overgrown it is and how many stems you have coming from the base. So if you've just got one or two major stems and most of your growth is off of that, then you'll take it back to a shorter branch or right back to the main stem. There's a really good book called The American Horticultural Society, all about pruning, and it's a wonderful book because they go through and they have great diagrams and they talk about it. In my month-by-month book, I give you some basics, so that'll take care of a lot of your basic needs for most plants. But for those specialty things where you're feeling you need a little bit more information, and I bet the library would have it as well. But if you do that either late winter, take a few key branches that are really long and encroaching. The other thing you may want to do is these are big plants. I've seen the one in Old Brick is like 7 feet tall and wide.
Yeah, it's big.
It is big. You know, and when I first moved here 35 years ago, we all thought they wouldn't grow, and obviously you've proved us wrong too, Peggy. And so, you know, if that's going to be too big, you may want to move it next spring before growth begins where it's going to have more room. And then put something smaller. You know, if it's just a few branches that you can keep in line, not a problem. But if this whole plant's taking over and is too big for the spot, the long-term solution might be moving it to a better spot.
Yeah, there you go, Peg.
Who's the author of All About Pruning?
It's the American Horticulture Society. It's a compilation, so I'm not sure who the editor is. And I don't have it behind me at my desk here. But
okay.
But you should be able to find it. I think it's also referenced in, if you have any of my books, I think I also list it in the bibliography as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's the American Horticultural Society.
There you go.
I've got it. Thank
Excellent.
You so much.
Good luck with that. Let me know how that turns out. I'm sure our paths will cross again.
I'm sure they will. Peggy in Waukesha, thank you so much for calling. Melinda Myers, our guest today, Milwaukee-based gardening expert, the author of more than 20 books, including one of her great books, I think, Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin. So it's great talking with her today, and we'll be back to talking with her in a minute. But first, we need to take a few minutes to ask for your support of the programs that you enjoy. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported, and we're in our fall membership drive. Judith Sears-Poisson with me now, and we're asking you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make a gift in support of the programs you count on. And Judith, we've been doing fairly well.
Right. Last hour, the goal was 40 pledges, and we heard from 48 listeners. Thank you so much for those great pledges. For this hour of our program, we have a goal of 70 pledges. That's pretty steep, but we're confident we can do it with your help. We already have 4 pledges, so that's a good start. These program goals are extremely important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. Please take a moment right now and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
From 11 to 12:30, pretty much every day, we take a break from the news and from politics, and we like to focus on advice topics, interesting things going on in the university and in the state, health issues, finances, and of course today we're talking about gardening, which is certainly one of our most popular topics.
Definitely. And there's a not-so-secret ingredient to this winning recipe of programs, and that's listener support, your support. You make the program possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs, and as kind of as an added incentive today, we've got something special for you. You can get Melinda's book, Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin, when you contribute $150 or more. So you can ask for it now when you make a pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I have to say, I had Melinda's book on my gardening bookshelf long before I actually worked on this program, and I was so thrilled to get to talk to the person that wrote it because it is a wonderful resource. Maybe you remember listening to WPR as a kid, or maybe your kids really enjoy certain programs.
Whether it's an interesting story on NPR News, or maybe it's a piece of music, or laughing along with the weekend shows, WPR caught your imagination as a child, maybe, and it engages the minds of children today.
And you make that all possible when you participate as a member. And give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hello, it's Garrison Keillor here with a message about an innovation that might be of interest to you, and that's sustaining membership. As a sustaining member, you'll have regular monthly deductions from your bank account sent directly to your public radio station. No fussing over checks, no reminders in the mail. You can stop anytime. And here's the best part. It can mean even less on-air fundraising like I'm doing right now. So consider becoming a sustaining member, and thank you.
You can pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller, Judith Sears-Poisson with me right now, asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe your gift is $50, or maybe it's $150, or maybe it's $500. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is such a great source of information about the nation, the world, and our state of Wisconsin. You value WPR for the lifelong learning it brings to your life. You learn something new here every day, year after year.
And this continuing education, it's possible only because of support from listeners like you. So like any education, you get out of it what you put into it.
And we don't even make you do homework.
No. I've got a couple of students. A couple of students with me in the
true.
Studio right now. They'll say, oh, no, Mueller gives a lot of homework. But when we're doing a radio program, no. You can sit, listen, learn, invest in your education right now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, you can get Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin by Melinda Myers, our guest today, for your pledge of $150 or more.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain and educate. You get those programs at the touch of a button or maybe the click of a mouse anytime you want.
And what makes it all possible, you may ask? Well, the answer is you. You do. People who contribute to make it happen for themselves and for others.
And at Wisconsin Public Radio, membership matters. I hope you'll become a member right now. Give now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
And giving takes just 2 minutes of your time, really. It's as quick and easy as possible. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay for it. Consider using your credit card. It saves time, postage, and paper, and puts your money to work right away. No matter how you choose to give or how much, take those 2 minutes right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 63 more pledges right up until the top of the hour, so in about another 40 minutes or so. That's our goal. Help us meet that goal at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
We had a really nice comment on Facebook from Sandy. She said, although I did not pledge during Garden Talk, because I pledged earlier this week already, I did it because I love Garden Talk on Fridays and Saturdays, and I can log time listening toward my Master Gardener continuing education. Keep up the good work, and the green thumb's growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we have a huge number of Master Gardeners who listen every week, and they do get that extra credit learning credits for listening to the show. It's an education, but I think we have a lot of fun doing it, don't we?
We have so much fun. And we really have fun when you call in with your questions. I learn a lot. I know that from not just from our wonderful guests, but from our amazing listeners as well. When you make a pledge, consider becoming a sustainer. Your sustaining membership automatically renews each year, and it breaks your pledge into affordable monthly installments. It's really easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting impact. Give now. You choose the giving method and amount that work for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 as we visit today with Melinda Myers. On this edition of Garden Talk, we're visiting with Melinda Myers, our Milwaukee-based gardening expert, author of 20 books, including that month-by-month gardening in Wisconsin book, which I love. It's a great resource. And you, Melinda, you had some fun putting that one together too, didn't you?
I did. It really was like taking all of the years of extension and the advice that I gave as an extension agent in a resource that, as gardeners tell me, it's great if you're, I call it the operator's manual for your landscape. And it's kind of a what to do when. And then what experienced gardeners tell me is it's a good reminder and, oh, yeah, I want to make sure I go take care of that, or some new tips that maybe they haven't tried. And then for beginning gardeners, it kind of takes it from, okay, it's January, and there are a few things you could do inside and a lot of planning. But, you know, it's things that you need to do. When should I prune back my sedum autumn joy that's always flopping? You know, it's a reminder that mid-June, cut it back halfway, you'll have a more compact plant and better bloom. And so just some of those tips that are some good basics, some good things that I found weren't in other books, as gardeners share with me. They go, you know, I always wondered, and I never saw that anywhere. And, you know, just trying to make the job easier and fun, because like Garden Talk, I think gardening should be fun as well as have a great end result, a beautiful garden.
Absolutely. And Danielle in Cecil has a question for you next, so let's go there. Hi.
Hi, Danielle.
How you doing?
Good.
Hi.
Okay, last week I tried to get through and couldn't, but there was a guy from Watertown, and he wanted to know when to plant cana bulbs and when to pick them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's for me, I'm not a cana farmer here, but I have started out with 12 bulbs 8 years ago. And a couple of years ago, I had, when I dug them up, the root ball was 3 feet across.
Wow, excellent.
Excellent,
and I took pictures of them, and my canas grow 8 feet tall.
Excellent.
And now, every year is different, and for every person, it may be different. Last year, I did not get to plant my cana bulbs as late as the year before. I planted them the 15th of March up here in Cecil. The year before that, it wasn't until almost the 1st of May, you know, depending on the weather and stuff.
Right. And you bring up a good point. Cannas, caladiums, tuberous begonias are the non-hardy. We call them bulbs. Some are rhizomes, some are tubers, some are tuber stems. If we start them indoors, because they really like a little bit warmer air and temperature, we can get a jump start on the season for earlier bloom. I loved one marketing press releases that were going out about 10 years ago about dahlias, the new fall flower.
Yeah.
What they were trying to do is take that whole, you don't need to start them inside, plant them outside, you know, once the soil starts warming up, the middle of May for most of us, and late May if it's a cool year or you're further north, and they won't bloom till fall, so their idea was it'll be a fall bloomer. Same with cannas. If you want earlier bloom, start them inside, otherwise pop them outside and you'll have great foliage. I have to tell you a funny story, Daniel, is somebody shipped me some to test, and they were in the same size box as some Birds and Bloom magazines that I was going to be giving away. So I kind of stashed them. Yeah, you knew what happened. You can tell what happened.
Oh.
Stashed them in the basement, and I'm pulling them out, and they must have been in my basement for a little longer than they should have been. I just planted them midsummer. They look great right now.
Oh, man.
Not recommended. The company called to ask how they did. I had to confess. I said, they look really beautiful. They're about 3 feet tall. I started late. So you're right. They are a wonderful plant to start with. Store them in a cool, dark place. Dig them up after a light frost. When I was at the city, we would the crews would gather them, and we'd just store them in a cool greenhouse under the benches. But for most of us, you know, carefully remove the soil. Don't scrub them. Store them in peat moss or vermiculite or sand, or some people just throw them in a brown paper bag. But a cool, dark place for winter. And, you know, as Daniel found, you can end up with a lot more every year that you can then share or spread out your canna planting.
Yeah, absolutely. Daniel, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for sharing. That was a great story.
Appreciate it very much. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. That's the number to call. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. With your gardening question, or email us at talk@wpr.org. An email from Judy in Platteville, who says, I have two peony bushes and irises that need to be transplanted. Should I be doing this now, or can I wait till spring?
You know, peonies, this is a great time. Fall is an excellent time to transplant peonies. You know, dig them, divide their rhizomes, make sure the growing point's only about an inch or two below the soil surface. Planting them too deep can prevent bloom. Also, you may not get you may or may not get flowers next spring dividing them now, but this is an excellent time. You're kind of pushing your limit with bearded iris right now. We like to get them in the ground because they're so shallow. You know, so if you can wait till spring, you may interfere with bloom, or what you may want to do is wait until 6 to 8 weeks after they flower. You know, and with the heat this year, getting into September was a better time. I have divided them at this time of year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I usually wait till the ground freezes, and then I'll mulch them. I'm not a huge, you got to be hardy to live in my yard kind of person. That's what I really, you know, easier is better.
Yeah.
But, boy, if I push the limits, I'm going to throw some mulch down. Take your Christmas tree, right, after Christmas.
Yeah.
Cut a few branches, use it. That's perfect. Or your neighbor's if you don't have a fresh cut tree.
Mm-hmm.
Much to my daughter's chagrin, I would be dragging trees down from the neighbors.
For all over the place.
Yeah, do it at night, Mom, she used to say.
Oh, man. Well, Kat in Barron County has something for you, Melinda, so let's go there. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Kat.
Hi. I have three Ostromeria plants.
Oh, yay, okay.
And I have them in pots outside.
Okay.
And I want to know what I can do with them to overwinter them so that I can have them next year, too.
Yeah, those are a little bit challenging. They like cool, bright, sunny locations. So if you have a spare room where you can keep them alive and growing, but, you know, the goal is just to keep them alive usually. Our homes often are too warm for them. And a good bright location. There are some that are supposed to be more winter hardy, but I have not talked to anyone that's kept them over winter, including myself.
Yeah.
You know, so if you've got a nice, maybe a vacant, a spare bedroom or a place that tends to be a little cooler and you can keep them in the window, water just to keep them slightly moist. If they go dormant, don't give up on them. You know, just cut back on the watering, wait for signs of new growth. But that's probably about the best advice I can give you. But it's a tricky plant. We just don't live in the right climate to make it easy.
Yeah.
I did try leaving them outside a year ago, and I let them freeze off. And then I took them down in my basement, which is a little bit cooler.
Okay.
And left them in the pots there, but I had real mixed results.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good to know. So it may be. And last year was a tough year because of the warm weather. You know, if you overwintered plants, and I do a lot in my unheated garage, or even in your basement, when it's a lot warmer outside, it's a lot warmer in our basements and our garage. So you might want to give that another shot. It, you know, it may not have been consistently cool enough.
Yeah, worth a shot anyway.
Yeah, but you maybe try a couple in a cool bedroom so they're kind of growing but at a much slower rate, and then try a couple more in the basement. Let us know. I'd love to hear what kind of results. Like Judah said, always learn a lot from people that call in as well.
And thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call very much. Deb and Mequon, on to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hi, Deb.
Hi. I've got a number of pots outside with geraniums in them. mm-hmm. and I'd like to save them for next year.
Okay. I'm glad you asked this question, a very popular one. I'm going to start with the most popular in the method and then end with the method that I think is the easiest one. You know, I always hear from gardeners say, well, my grandma used to just rip them out of the ground, throw them in a brown paper bag, and put them in the basement, and they would survive. Well, my grandma had a root cellar, and her basement was a lot cooler than mine. You know, I still meet gardeners that have success, but it's usually people with a cool basement. Kind of have to spritz them once a month because the goal is to keep them dormant, but not growing, but not dying. And so that's the most challenging. But if you don't have time and space anywhere else, they're going to die for sure outside. So the worst is you compost them in the spring instead of the fall. So the second method is to, if they're in containers, bring them into a good sunny window, grow them like houseplants. I see many blooming geraniums in south-facing windows
yep.
in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Takes up space, and you sometimes bring bugs in, but it is a great way, and just treat them like a houseplant. They get leggy. You can take cuttings or trim them back. And usually in spring, a good haircut, and then, you know, a little bit of fertilizer when the growing days are longer and sunnier. My favorite method is to take cuttings. And one is, 4 to 6 inch cuttings, take off the flower buds and flowers, remove 2 of the lower leaves. If you want a little added insurance, dip it in a rooting hormone, and then plant it in a well-drained potting mix. And it usually roots in a couple weeks. You can grow it on like a house plant, but it's smaller, and you usually can rinse off that cutting and take care of a lot of the insect issues, so you bring in fewer pests that way, and it takes up less room. So either one would work since yours are in containers. You could try putting the potted plants in the basement in a cool, dark spot, watering about once a month, again, just to keep them from drying out and dying. But if, you know, it's too warm in your basement, it's probably going to start to grow, and then you'll have to make a decision whether to throw it in a sunny window and grow it like a plant or find a cooler, darker spot.
Yeah. We stuck them in the basement last year at our home, and actually, they lived.
You know, I'm always amazed. You know, when I was many years ago in college, I remember a professor saying, just remember, plants don't read the book. So,
yeah.
You know, I think you can break all the rules and have good success, and you can do everything right, and it doesn't always work out. That's part of the fun, I think, of gardening and why every spring is so exciting.
Well, every spring is exciting for me, and actually an exciting time for me as well is our fall membership drive. I'm always excited when Judith is usually in another studio and answering the phones, but then she comes charging in.
Charging in on tiptoes.
and is ready to talk about raising some money. And I want to thank everyone who's a sustainer, by the way, or who's already contributed during this drive or regularly by mail. We're a nonprofit public service radio station, so we rely on you, listeners like you, for a large portion of our income, and about 40%, actually. If you haven't given yet, now is the time at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And, you know, we really take that service part of public service radio station seriously. We try to provide a valuable service for you, but we need your help to pay for the programs you depend on. We're still looking for 53 more pledges in the next 25 minutes, and we really need your help to make that goal. You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We get such good questions on WPR because, and such good guests. And the reason we are able to get good guests is because of those questions that you ask. They often comment to me how good the questions are. And of course, when you're listening, you're not interrupted by commercials either. Your support makes this possible. You're the most reliable part of our budget. Thank you in advance for making your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, you can choose Melinda Meyer's month-by-month gardening in Wisconsin as your thank you gift for your pledge of $150 or more. Whatever amount, your pledge will help support the programs, and you'll enjoy Garden Talk every week, and we know you love it. Make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sometimes your computer needs an upgrade. Well, we need to upgrade the equipment at WPR as well. We're constantly updating our technology, so you get a clear signal, and you get the statewide news coverage and a great website at WPR.org. where you can find our schedules, our live streams, and a whole lot more.
And actually, when people need to upgrade their computers, we also have people like Peter Green on the show, so you can ask questions, find out what the best make, model, and style is for you. You know, even though it's behind the scenes, all of that technology here at WPR costs money, but it makes your listening experience so much better, and even it just makes it possible. Your support now helps WPR stay current so that you can get the programs you depend on without fail. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. Larry here with Judith, and we're asking for your support of the WPR programs that you count on. And thanks in advance for your gift of $50 or $150. That'd be great. We'll send you a copy of the month-by-month gardening in Wisconsin. Maybe you say, hey, you know what? I can do $500. Well, please feel free to do that. Whatever the amount that is right for you, go to WPR.org and make that pledge or call 888-202-2552.
Think about how often you tune into WPR. Maybe it's every day. Maybe it's multiple times a day. Maybe it's on your way to and from work and over the lunch hour, and then some more on the weekends.
It's an important part of your life. Your day would probably be different. Maybe it, hopefully, well, I don't want it to be worse, but it could be worse, as a matter of fact, if you couldn't catch your favorite programs. Make a contribution to keep the station that you rely on strong. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Larry's flexing those guns over there. Strong radio. Since we launched our Sustainer program, we've noticed that members have made the switch to providing a steady, reliable stream of financial support to Wisconsin Public Radio. That security comes with benefits, both for you and for WPR.
We can focus more on our resources, on programming, and you don't have to remember to renew your membership every year. It automatically rolls over.
And sustaining members are really changing the way public radio works, changing it for the better. Become a sustainer today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with a gift of $5, $10, $20 a month or whatever amount you choose.
And giving couldn't be easier either. We just need your name, some contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay it.
And we are still looking for 49 more pledges in the next 20 minutes. So please help us make our goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And be sure to ask for the month-by-month gardening in Wisconsin with your pledge of $150 or more. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, when you make your pledge, think about becoming a sustainer. That sustaining membership automatically renews each year, one less thing for you to worry about, and it breaks your pledge into affordable monthly installments. It's easy to set up, and it's a great way to make a lasting impact. But the important thing is give now. You choose the giving method that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given before, this would be a great time to do it. I know that there's a reason we have 70, we have a total of 70 calls to get this hour, because Wisconsin Public Radio's Garden Talk is one of our most popular programs.
It really is. And I can certainly tell from the amount of emails I get, even leading up to Fridays and Saturdays, people asking, you know, I want to make sure my question gets answered, and asking when someone's going to be on to tell them how to take care of their lawn. People count on Garden Talk, and we count on you. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
To vote for Garden Talk when you pledge during this hour, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks to everybody who's pledged so far. As we visit with Melinda Myers and Tom and Prairie to Sac's been waiting very patiently with a question for you, Melinda. So
okay,
let's go to Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Melinda, my question is in regards to raspberries.
Yeah.
I've oftentimes transplanted or expanded my patch in the spring, but I was wondering what your thoughts are on transplanting in the fall.
You know, raspberries are so tough that they're one plant that I would say you'd probably, you know, have great luck transplanting them spring or fall. Are they summer? They're summer bearing, I take it, or fall bearing?
No, they're fall bearing.
They're fall bearing. Okay.
And I've had good success in the spring, but right now the ground is so dry. I certainly have to water real intensely.
Exactly. The good news. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The thing is, if I get them in the spring, I mean in the fall here, I think that I might have a little bit head start than in the spring, but I'm wondering what you've...
You want to make sure that, you know, you water them in, as you mentioned. This year, you know, with the heat and the drought we had this summer, spring planting was really challenging. There's been a lot of research on fall planting, with especially trees, where the soil's warmer and the air's cooler. You know, so it works well. That old adage of, you know, if it flowers in the spring, transplant in the fall, flowers in the fall, transplants in the spring, in the summer, either side. Now, the raspberries are flowering and fruiting in the fall, so they're using a lot of energy, but they're such tough plants that, yes, I think as long as you give them good post-transplant care, you should be in good shape.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Tom. Appreciate it. We have some open lines, by the way. Get you on at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Charlotte in River Falls. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My husband listened to you last year talk about lasagna gardening.
Okay.
So he put in a lasagna garden, but I don't think we did it quite how you're supposed to do it. We put the cardboard down and then probably 5 inches of horse manure and sawdust, and then another 5 to 7 inches of hay.
Okay.
So, of course, in the spring it was mulch. It wasn't compost.
Yeah.
Right.
But I had quite a few volunteer potato plants.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, you know, I harvested my potatoes already, and I can't leave those little bitty ones in the garden. I have to harvest them, but then, you know, they're a pain to peel. So I usually use those in the spring to plant with, but I was wondering if I could plant them now if I mulched them real heavy, if that might...
The problem is going to be they're going to get down to freezing, and it may be worth a shot if you don't care if you lose them, but the winter, it's going to be a really tough one with the winter, you know, depending on how our winter is, if there's going to be enough insulation so that they don't turn to mush and rot. You know, if we get freezing and thawing and freezing and warm spells, sometimes they'll start growing, soften up, and the temperatures drop. You know, if you don't want to mess with them, you have nothing to lose by popping them in there, and once the ground freezes, mulching. How did your garden grow with the horse manure and sawdust?
Well, we ended up having to peel back the mixture where we planted corn, that sort of thing. But everywhere else, it was great.
Excellent.
That sawdust would have been eating up a lot of nitrogen.
You knew where I was going, Larry.
Yeah.
That's why I was wondering, because horse manure, excellent, but it has a lot of weed seeds, and if it's aged, it doesn't have as much, well, manures in general are relatively low nitrogen. It worked great for you, so that's good to hear. What I wanted to make sure for others is if you use sawdust or wood chips or anything like that mixed in where you plant, it does temporarily tie up the nitrogen, so you may get stunting, yellowing, or poor growth and fruit production. So I'm glad it worked out well for you. Just for others who are trying, kind of keep an eye on that, just in case if you run into problems, you know, just to add a little extra nitrogen.
Yeah,
it might have actually helped us, because in the past we had tomatoes grow huge with very little fruiting.
Oh, yeah, too much nitrogen.
So I think maybe, you know, we got it right.
He evened it out. Charlotte, thanks a lot.
Thank you, and good luck. Let us know if those potatoes make it through.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about that, so don't forget us. Mary in Milwaukee, hi to you.
Hi. I have an old mock orange in my mother's yard, and we'll be selling that house soon, and I was just wondering if there's a way to take a cutting from it. It's so beautiful, and the blooms are so fragrant.
Yeah, taking cuttings from woody plants, is always challenging, and timing is very critical with that. And that's one of the issues. You're selling the house, so you know what? You have nothing to lose by doing a cutting and see if you have luck. I would take many more than you need. And again, we always want to take big cuttings, but taking smaller cuttings, more like 4 to 6 inches, the benefit is less tissue. They tend to root better, and so that's one of the other options. And that might be helpful to do it that way as well. I'm just kind of quick trying to do seed softwood cuttings taken in June and July is when Michael Durr, who is an outstanding woody ornamental person, is recommending taking cuttings in June or July. But you don't really have a choice unless you can write in your contract, where some people will do that, that you can come back and take some cuttings next year. But I would try. You have nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
Point. And just take a lot more than you need. I would definitely use a rooting hormone. You know, this time of year, it's always, a lot of times they'll store these things in a refrigerator and wrap the roots in moist sand or peat moss. You may want to try to root them indoors. I'd try a couple of different ways. You know, try to get them going now. Try to store some in a refrigerator to try to root them next spring. Try starting some indoors. I think give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if they'll let you come back. A lot of times people will let you come back. They may even let you dig it up if you want it next spring because, you know, they may want to change their landscape and it means more to you than them.
Yeah, makes sense. Mary, good luck.
Good
Thank
luck.
You. Bob in Oak Park, Illinois has something relating to mock oranges as well, I think. Hi, Bob.
Hello, thank you. Yes, I have a young mock orange. It's probably about 4 years old, and it was looking a little scraggly this year, and I wanted to see what is the best way and when to prune that to get better flowers and have better growth.
I'm really glad you asked. Mock orange bloom on old wood. So a lot of times the common mock orange, it just smells so wonderful.
Yeah.
If you don't get flowers, it can be a hard winter or often we've pruned at the wrong time. So with mock orange, if you want the blooms, you want to prune them after flowering. In young plants that are just getting established, sometimes they're putting their energy into roots instead of flowers and fruit. So you may say, you know what, I'm just going to prune in late winter. Great time to do it, but you will eliminate some, if not all, the blooms. And, you know, if it's straggly, what you want to do is prune back to adjoining branches or above a good healthy bud and stagger your pruning cuts. If you go and prune it, say, 2 feet above ground, you'll get this proliferation of growth, and then it'll start thinning out at the base. Once it's older and you have lots of stems, you'll take some of the older stems right back to the ground level. Your plant may be too young, but you don't have enough to do that. And so taking out a few, you know, reducing the size or pruning back a little may stimulate some new growth. But really, the best thing to do is minimal pruning. Give it another year to get, you know, to put some growth out, and that's going to really be better. If you don't have a lot of excessive growth, you may want to give it another year to put out some growth and fill in. And good bright sunlight is really the best for flowering on that plant, too. Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Thank you very much, Bob, for calling. Appreciate it. We had a Facebook question from Gina. Planted some dogwood bushes in July. In September, the leaves were starting to fall off. Does this mean that the bush died, or do they lose their leaves early, and will it come back in the spring?
Yeah, older established plants, there is a chance, but boy, losing them in July, they've lost half the growing season. Now, those of you that grow crab apples know if they get apple scab mid-season, they still come back, but this was an extremely hot, dry summer that really took its toll. If the branches are pliable, you can wait and see what happens. You may want to start making plans. I'm trying to look at the drought as a positive thing, you know, make it easier to change out some plantings, but things that really went dormant midsummer, not likely, but I've seen stranger things happen. Plants really need good care even now. Water is so important. I know all of us sound like a broken record, but, you know, it's pretty dry in my neck of the woods here in Milwaukee, and we need some good rain or some irrigation. And I just want to put a plug in, Larry. I'm going to be at doing some of my last appearances for the year. And I'll be at Stein so people can stop by and ask questions in Bellevue and Appleton on Saturday and Racine and Kenosha on Sunday. So if you have questions or samples or want some ideas, we're talking about garden renovation.
Oh. Well,
yeah, not that any of us need it after this summer, but.
Melinda Myers, our guest today on Garden Talk. She's great. Isn't she great? She has so much wonderful information. And really love to have her on the show. It's always fun, and she's a great guest during our public radio fall membership drive, which is have been underway now for a few days. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson. And our goal is to keep bringing you guests with interesting topics, just like today's guest, Melinda Myers, is, boy, she knows a lot. And she's more than happy to share what she knows with you and with me. Your gift of any amount right now makes a big difference as we raise money, the money we need to make these discussions possible. So give now at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
We really need your help right now because we're looking to get 38 more pledges in the next 8 minutes. We can do it.
We can do it. 37 now.
37 now, but we can only do it with your help. Your pledge right now helps keep this program going strong and helps us meet those goals. Make your contribution. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Chances are the Ideas Network has covered issues that are close to you. Certainly gardening, I know, is close to many people who are listening right now. What about you? State issues we cover, literature. We try to bring you shows that you'll find relevant, hopefully interesting and enjoyable. Because WPR touches your life, make a pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on Wisconsin Public Radio. Consider asking for Melinda Myers' month-by-month Gardening in Wisconsin book as your thank you gift when you give $150 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Gardening is great physical exercise. I think there's always a lot of bending and digging and so forth. And it's an important part of staying healthy, and gardening helps us do that. But mental exercise is also important, and you get your daily mental workout pretty easily when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Listening to WPR keeps your brain in great shape, no doubt about that. Your gift of any amount helps keep you and WPR healthy. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Christine Gooder-Yangetz. I live in Fitchburg. I've been listening to public radio for at least 20 years. It's refreshing to listen to programs that are balanced with knowledgeable hosts and callers.
Those oaks, there's not enough oaks planted, Deborah. I'm so glad that you're of the philosophy to plant those.
I'm going to go out and water it right now.
Good. You do that. Thanks, Deb.
It has absolutely enriched my life.
Well, it's enriched my life as well. I hope it's enriched your life. Make your donation right now in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson, our guest today, Melinda Myers, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And whether your gift is $50, maybe it's $150 because you'd like a copy of Month by Month Gardening. Maybe it's $500 or $1,200. Anything that comes to your mind as to, okay, this is what I should be contributing. That's what we want you to contribute.
And we know you enjoy this program during the week and also on Saturday mornings. Maybe you also enjoy things like the Joy Cardine Show during the week or Chapter a Day or on the weekends, the People's Pharmacy and Old Time Radio Drama. We've got something for you every day of the week, and weekends are extra fun.
Your pledge right now supports all the programs you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Easy to donate. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Larry, we still need 36 pledges in the next 5 minutes. 36 pledges to go to meet our goal. Remember, you can get Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin by Melinda Myers for your pledge of $150 or more. You are going to want to do it, as Melinda said, from a novice gardener to an experienced gardener. It's really useful for all of us.
Very important for you to contribute right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Our goal, we need 36 more calls to reach our goal. You're voting for Garden Talk. And I know if you're listening, this is a very important program for you. It certainly is for us. Call now with a vote for Garden Talk at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before, let me tell you what to expect. It's a really short and easy process. Takes just about 2 minutes. You answer some basic questions, your name, address, how much you'd like to donate, and how you'd like to pay for it.
And that's it. Make that first donation to WPR. You'll feel good about it. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. 202-2552.
And Larry,
it is easy,
isn't it? It's true. And this hour, 15 new members have joined us. So thank you so much for those donations. Giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and just a few minutes of your time.
A dollar or two a week adds up to $50 or $100 for the year. And all year long, you'll be enjoying the programs and all of the WPR programs you count on. So make your contribution right now. Help us out. We've got to meet that goal at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We need 34 more pledges in the next 3 minutes. Help us make our goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Ask for Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin, that book written by Melinda Myers. You can do that with your pledge of $150 or more. When you pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Still 3 minutes or so to go.
Yep, and we still need 32 more pledges. We had this great Facebook comment from Nancy. As a longtime WPR listener, your show wins the prize hands down for the one that holds me enthralled by the variety of your subjects and the interesting guests. Since I've retired, I've also taken up gardening and birdwatching, in no small part encouraged by your program. I'm going to make a perpetual pledge today during this hour in recognition of the many enjoyable hours you've given me and in honor of Big Bird.
Yeah, Big Bird came up.
And she said that's the best bird watching of all, is watching Big Bird.
Well, here's your chance now. We've got a couple minutes left before the top of the hour. We have a goal of 70. We've got 30 or so calls, contributions to get yet. If you haven't done it yet, now's the time to do it. Don't wait. Donate now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Please call, pledge now, and thanks to everybody who has already pledged.
Thanks.
Great to have you with us here for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller. The drought certainly generated a lot of questions this year, and we'll talk about that and other things as well as we visit with Melinda Myers, our Milwaukee-based gardening guru. So much fun to have her with us. Her month-by-month gardening in Wisconsin book is a premium today for a $150 contribution. And I want to mention, and just mention in passing here, that we have a dollar-for-dollar match starting right now for up to $1,500. This is a generous match. It's offered by the Wisconsin Daylily Society, and it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So your pledge doubles right now. So if you've got a $200 pledge, let's say, it goes to $400 because the Daylily Society is sponsoring it. We really wanted to get that in because it's only for this last half hour of the show. And so it's very important. If you have been thinking about contributing, now would be an excellent time to do that. We would really appreciate it very much. And Melinda, we have Teresa with an interesting question, I think, from Heartland. Teresa, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Teresa.
I have a few questions on potatoes and an interesting story that happened to me, too.
Okay, excellent.
It may help the other person, too, that called about potatoes. For one thing, now I had some potatoes that we were eating, and they really started sprouting quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if I could cut them into pieces and put them in pots in the house to let them grow instead of outside. And how long do I let them to dry, you know, after I cut them in pieces with the
Right, so they tuberize or kind of callus over before you plant them. Right. Here's the challenge. There was a woman, this has been a few years ago in Chicago, I had a reporter call me, and this woman was growing beans, never heard of that, cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers, all kinds of things in a vacant bedroom, but under lights. And we decided she was probably spending a little bit of a fortune in electricity.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what gardening is about, trying a challenge. So that's going to be your key thing, is getting enough sunlight for those plants.
Have I got a south window?
Well, the problem is we move indoors. That's about a tenth of the amount of sunlight is outside just by moving inside. Then our days are shorter, usually grayer in the winter, not always. So the south window is your best bet. Artificial light will help increase your chance of success. You know, it's going to be one of those, give it a try, and if we have a pretty decent sunny winter, you may get some potatoes, probably not full size, but you should, you know, it's worth a try. Worst can happen is you've got some greenery growing and kind of long-leggy potatoes. Because potatoes out in the garden, we typically grow in full sun. So just kind of keep that in mind for best productivity. It's worth a shot.
Yeah.
You have nothing to lose but a little bit of time and space. I would, you can do your cuttings when you're out in the garden. You cut them and you plant them. I plant my sweet potatoes right away. I cut them and plant them right away. You can let them sit overnight if you want those to kind of suberize or kind of callus over a little bit like you do with succulents. But they're usually pretty tough and resilient. The thing we typically use, seed potatoes, because they're certified disease-free and made for that reason, though they're potatoes just like you're cutting up, but they're bred for that purpose. But I think it's worth a shot to give it a try.
And good luck, and thank you very much for calling. Jim in West Bend, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi there. My wife and I want to start a garden next year, and I guess I'm curious how we can go about turning what is currently lawn into good garden space. What can we do this fall to kind of prepare it?
What kind of soil do you have? Have you done any planting? Is it heavy clay? Is it sandy, rocky?
It's not very sandy. It used to be farm field, so it's
Rich
and dark.
And your grass has grown pretty well?
It is, yeah.
Okay, that gives me an indication of how good your soil is, whether you need to abandon and go up above ground or try to fix what you've got. If you don't want to use chemicals, now is an excellent time to, now is an excellent time to prepare your garden anyway. But if you don't want to use chemicals, you can take advantage of the long dormant season ahead and basically edge out your bed, cut the grass really short, throw down some cardboard, throw on some shredded leaves, evergreen needles, anything to hold that mulch in place. That will suffocate your lawn and break down. And if you use wood chips, you want to rake those off. So that's why I'm looking for things that break down faster, like evergreen needles or, you know, leaves from the fall. Then in the spring, you can till that in, and it'll work fine. If you could also use a sod cutter, cut the sod away, use it to patch any bare spots that you might have, or turn it upside down and compost the sod you're removing from the garden. Adding organic matter is a great idea. It sounds like you have decent soil. Adding compost, peat moss, maybe if you're doing it this fall, shred up leaves with your mower, dig those in. They'll be broken down by spring and really prepare, you know, add some good organic matter to the soil. You can also use chemicals like Roundup, you know, edge the bed, kill off the grass, and then you can either leave it like that for the winter or and then till it in the spring or prepare it in the fall. Just do it. You don't want to get it a fine grading, but just a real rough grade, just like the farmers do, because it'll freeze and thaw and break down over winter. But prepping now, new beds, kind of gives you a little bit of a jump start on next season. But you can also do it next spring as well.
Absolutely. And thinking about it, since you're new to it, I think this month-by-month gardening in a Wisconsin book that Melinda has written and we're offering as a premium today would be a wonderful book for you, because you'd get that information every month on what you need to do.
And I spend a lot of time on soils. It's not the glamorous part of gardening until you get into gardening, but it's the most important thing you can do is prepare your soil. And I just want to put a plug. I'm a huge fan of public radio and also donate. And for those that are like, well, I have a copy of Month by Month, maybe you know a new gardener who would like it as a Christmas gift or a birthday gift or a welcome to the wonderful world of gardening, because gardener to gardener is a wonderful thing. When people buy books to give to their friends, I always like to inscribe, use your friend and this book to help you through your gardening, because, you know, we all learn not only from books but from doing and then from each other as well, and that's what public radio is really about.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Melinda. And again, that book, Month by Month Gardening in Wisconsin, $150 contribution. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and we'll get you a copy. And Jane in Hubertus, Polly in Suamico has a question for you. Hi. Thank you for calling, Polly.
Oh, thank you for having this wonderful show. I get so much information from your show, Larry. I appreciate it. My question is about actually maybe a houseplant. I have several amaryllis bulbs that are still in pots from last January. I did not plant them outside. What should I do now to get them to blossom in January?
You know, I'll tell you, you talk to five gardeners, you'll get five different methods. So I'm going to tell you a few. I'll tell you what I do. I'm pretty low maintenance, and mine have suffered a lot of abuse. I try to get them outside in summer, but I don't always. I have them in a sunny window. And what I end up doing is I just run them a little bit dry, drier in the fall. I don't even put them down into a dormant state. They just kind of go somewhat dormant in their sunny window in my dining room. And I've had luck with them blooming every January.
Perfect.
Some people will take them and then cut back on the watering, put them in a cool, dark place, and then give them like 6 weeks of dormancy, and then when they see new growth, bring them up. You may or may not have good luck. I had a gentleman send me a photo of 50 amaryllis he had started from just a couple plants.
Oh.
I know, unbelievable. And he bare roots is, so he plants them in the garden. Then at the end of the season, he lifts them up, lets them dry out, stores them in a cool, dark place, bare root, pots them up, and then he gets blooms reliably. I tried that 1 year, and I'll confess,
I forgot
about it.
Oh, you've got to be really dedicated and
yeah,
have a little time on your hands to do that.
Exactly. So I've had good luck. And that's what a friend of mine who, when I started doing the leave them growing all year kind of friend was telling me, that's what they do in Europe. And I've had really good success. You know, I let them go just a little bit drier, so they're just getting through, and then they come back and bloom, or the dormant method. So don't give up because you didn't get them outside. You know, it's tricky to rebloom amaryllis, but, you know, when they bloom every spring, I'm like, yay.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Polly, for calling. Jane and Hubertus, hi.
Hi. Good morning.
What can we do for you?
I would like to increase my Japanese painted ferns, and I'm wondering if I can do it with the spores that are underneath the leaves, and how do I do that?
Boy, it's been a long time, and this was, you know, early in my career because I had to try everything, and I have not done it with Japanese painted ferns, but, you know, one of the things you may want to go is do a little Googling on germination by spores, but the idea is basically, I'm trying to remember, it's been a long time, is harvesting them before they, you know, so you'll want them to collect the spores. You put them in a damp place. Often they're done in a little auger jar, you know, a little container.
Yeah.
And then you separate them out and plant them, the little plantlets that form. But, you know, it's been a long time. I have a great handout that the Carl Taylor used to be, I think he's retired from the Milwaukee Public Museum, had put together, a real fern advocate. But if you can't find something online, be very patient with me, please. And I'll see if I can find a copy of that handout and send it your direction. But it's been a long time, but it's definitely worth it. I've done it with indoor plants, not outdoor ferns. But he uses a terrarium, I think, in his case. He's used a terrarium to germinate those spores. And there may be some extra care needed. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I would check online and see if you can find an educational, a university resource, or even a museum or botanic garden.
Yeah, look for an edu.
Yeah.
That would probably be the best.
Yeah,
URL. Thanks a lot for calling, by the way. We had an email from Jackie in Green Bay. She says, our knockout roses did very well this year.
Excellent.
Now cover two-thirds of the sun porch windows. The flowers are still bright pink. When and how do we prune these? Can we cut way back?
You know, what you want to do, pruning not only removes growth but stimulates growth. So sometimes when we take something right back to the ground, it's bigger after we prune. Knockouts do best with less pruning, especially in cold environments. So leave it stand for winter. If you can stand it, enjoy those blooms. And, you know, roses sometimes are blooming into December, depending on the winter. Then in spring, if it's an older, mature plant, take a few of the old stems back to the ground or to the base where it's attached to a larger stem. Remove any winter kilt. Now, sometimes in the Fox Valley area, your knockouts die back to the ground, but they survive. And be patient if it's a cool spring. Mine didn't come back till like June 10th 1 year, but it's full size, so don't give up. But less pruning is better. You'll have better flowering, a sturdier stem, a hardier plant. And then by doing selective pruning, you'll not stimulate as much regrowth so that you can manage the size much better.
There you go. Acacia popcorn plant indoors during winter, can you?
You
you know what? I'm going to try mine for the first time, too. So we'll compare notes. I'm going to try their cassia. The hardy one is hardy outside and a native plant. This one is tropical. I say try it in a good sunny window. That's what I'm going to do.
How much water?
You know. And water it thoroughly, but it does tolerate drought. So indoors depends on the amount of light and how hot you keep your house. So usually can go a little bit on the drier side. Let it be your guide. Don't fertilize unless you're getting a lot of growth. Or come spring, we're going to think positively when they're starting to really take off.
And I was really happy, Melinda, to have you say that. You support Wisconsin Public Radio as well.
You bet.
It's a great organization, and these Garden Talk programs are so much fun. And I was glad to hear you say that you listen and get something out of it as well.
Oh, I always do. I love to hear what your other guests have to say. I learn something from your guests, from your listeners. It keeps me on my toes, and it's fun. Like you said, when I'm driving around working in my office, I can tune in and really pick up some good information that helps me, and I can pass along to others. You know, it is that big community, and that's how I feel when I listen to any of the shows, is we're a big community together sharing information and learning from each other.
Absolutely. Melinda Myers, our guest, our Milwaukee-based gardening expert, a great friend of mine and a great friend of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's always wonderful to have her with us, and she is the author of she's the author of 20 books or so, but one of them is we're offering as a premium month-by-month gardening in Wisconsin. Judith joins us again. Our goal, pretty simple, just to raise the funds we need to pay for the programs you listen to. Because you value Wisconsin Public Radio, please take care of public radio with a contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Judith, we have that dollar-for-dollar match.
We have this very generous dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,500 just until 12:30. So the next 10 minutes to make it, we are $415 on the way. Still plenty of room for you to pledge and have your gift matched dollar-for-dollar by the Wisconsin Daylily Society. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio and Garden Talk. Get your pledge doubled right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And, you know, these challenge grants really are that. If we don't make the challenge, we don't get the money.
That's
so
exactly
pledge
right.
right now.
And I know you've been enjoying this conversation with Melinda Myers. Doesn't she do a great job? She knows such a broad range of topics in the gardening area, everything from the trees to the veggies to the flowers to the lawns. She's got just a wealth of information. I hope you'll appreciate that. Take a few minutes to make this program and the many programs to come possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then make your pledge. It could be $150, could be $500, it could be $50. So, tell you what, let's make that contribution right now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
Day in, day out, Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained. You get value from this program, but also from Kathleen Dunn, Talk of the Nation, Chapter a Day, and many others you've come to rely on.
Take a few minutes now to make this program possible. Choose a gift that works for you at WPR.org or at 202-2552. Well, wait a minute. It's 888-202-2552.
And pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of programs you enjoy on this station and on the whole network with your contribution. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
More than 8,000 individuals and families are sustaining members of Wisconsin Public Radio. Setting up a monthly gift to WPR is simple, but your sustaining membership is a big deal. Your generosity benefits everyone who listens to WPR. That's more than 200,000 people every day. On behalf of those listeners and the staff of WPR, thank you.
You can pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe your gift is $50 or $100 or $500. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, You know what, Larry? Actually, whatever amount is double the right amount right now,
yes,
because there is
right.
a dollar-for-dollar match from the Wisconsin Daylily Society. Great friends of Garden Talk. We so appreciate their support. We've gotten $900 in pledges since 12 o'clock. We still have room for $600 more that will be matched dollar-for-dollar by the Daylily Society. Don't make us leave that money on the table. About 5 minutes left to match that challenge grant. You know, people love this show. They love Garden Talk, but they also love Larry on other days. And you know why? Larry knows Wisconsin. I always say that if there is an intersection and a tavern, Larry knows the town and has driven through and stopped for a
beer. Probably, yeah.
And, you know, people really appreciate it. I know people that live in smaller places, when Larry knows exactly where they're from and knows something about that town, they really appreciate it. Larry knows Wisconsin, and Larry is Wisconsin. And if you appreciate this show and the focus that Larry puts on all the wonderful things that make our state a great place to live, show your support right now with a pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. We need at least 5 more pledges in the next 3 minutes to make our goal.
We have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,500 in effect right now, offered by the Wisconsin Daylily Society, and we haven't met it yet. Your gift, let's say it's $100, it turns into $200. $500 turns into $1,000. You get the idea. Take advantage of this match to make your gift go even further in paying for programs like this one. So get your pledge matched dollar-for-dollar right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And, you know, I really think this is the perfect time for new donors to jump on the bandwagon, make that move, become a member, because your pledge will be matched dollar for dollar by the Wisconsin Daylily Society, but only in the next 3 minutes. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. You know, it's easy to take Wisconsin Public Radio for granted. Every time you turn on the dial or click on the mouse to go to WPR.org, it's there. You tune into WPR, and every time you hear something great.
And we hope that you will take that to heart. You hear something great, why not donate right now at 1-888-202-2552. My gosh, I'm giving the wrong. It's so excited here because we're almost reaching our goal.
We are.
888-202-2552. Or go to WPR.org. That's probably the easiest way. Either way, though, whatever amount you can give, do it right now.
You know, Jan from River Falls, Wisconsin says WPR has so much variety. And, you know, it's really true. There's something great no matter when you turn it on, and a range of programs, national programs, local programs, entertainment, hard news. You know, you can turn to WPR. You can give WPR.org, 888-202-2552. You know, if you've been wondering how you can do more for the station that's such a big part of your life, consider making a donation of $1,200. If that's in your budget, you know, it's crucial support for our future. If you'd like to do more than you've done before and can afford to make a leadership contribution of $100 a month, do it now. But a gift of any amount is truly appreciated. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can get month-by-month gardening in Wisconsin for your pledge of $150 or more. We still have 15 more calls to go to make our hour and a half total of 90 calls.
Yes.
So we still can do that with your help.
Yes, and I'm very happy to say that we did make our challenge grant. Woohoo! Thank you so much for that.
Lot.
And thank you to the Wisconsin Daylily Society for their great support that I'm sure inspired some of those, that flurry of calls. There's still time to give, though, and supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with literally 2 minutes of your time. You just have to give us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay for it. Whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe and don't share it with anyone.
And, oh boy, we're really going down. We have had 11 more calls, and we can make our goal for the 90 minutes. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That would be such a great way to end the week.
Your gift supports the programs and stories that keep you connected to the world. I hope you'll give now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552. Boy, we're creeping up there.
We're making great progress. Thanks to all of you. You know, you'll enjoy WPR Pledge Free after 1 o'clock this afternoon. But to make these Pledge Free afternoons possible, we all need to pull together during these earlier hours. So make your gift right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Vote for Garden Talk. Vote for Larry.
Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR is very much appreciated. We really appreciate it.
And you can join in, show your support for Garden Talk. If you've ever planted something at the right time because you heard about it here, or picked up a new variety because you heard Larry and his guests talk about it, show your support now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Just five more pledges.
We're counting on you right now.
WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks for contributing.
Thank you.